Welcome, everyone, to episode 53 of 1 Hour, 1 Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, do we like stabbing things?
Or is that a different kind of point and click?
Dang, that was a good one. This episode, we're going to be talking about The Procession to Calvary. This game was created by Joe Richardson. I guess just one guy. I got to say, the Unity engine has come leaps and bounds from what it was capable of doing. It is so versatile now. Like, it's, I guess essentially it's like Unity and Unreal that people use all the time now, right?
Yeah.
At this point.
Forget using anything else.
Yeah. So this game came out back in April of 2020. But Tom, what kind of game is this?
As I alluded to earlier, it is a point and click adventure title.
Yeah, you literally are pointing things, especially a sword, at people in this game. I play this on the PC. It was 1.37 gigabytes on the PC, Tom.
Disappointing on the Xbox. 1.5 gigabytes. I don't know where that extra space goes, but...
maybe those extra paintings in the game. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about this game loop. What do we got there?
Sounds like we have pretty similar thoughts. Travel around to talking to people in a Monty Python-esque style.
Yep. Sounds about right. I put advance the story through conversations and giving things to people.
Yeah, that's true.
You do give things to people.
If you didn't give things to people, the game wouldn't progress.
No. You either gave them items or you gave them the pointy end of your sword.
The sweet release of death.
Yes. Which this character seems to very much like to do to people. So
yes.
Shall we?
Why don't you start, Chris? What did you like? Because I hear you laughing already. So
The ridiculousness of this game. Like, I want to say that it was probably this game made me laugh out loud a lot. It was so ridiculous. The humor was just great. I didn't know what to expect out of this game. Like, when we saw the pictures, I was like, oh, this is like you said, it looked kind of like very Monty Python style, but I didn't know if it was going to go like that route, being humorous, or if it was going to go, it was kind of going to be a serious game.
Right.
But then, like, I think the first 10 seconds of the game, I was like, oh, okay, we're going this route. And I was here for it. I was really impressed, like, with the way that they got the art style to do what it was doing with, like, it was just so ridiculous. Like, it was just so funny. The plot was ridiculous. You're essentially, I apologize. I didn't realize this, but you play as a woman.
Yes.
And she is a bloodthirsty woman. Cause I think it's set in like the Crusades. During that crusade time period. So your character is basically just going around killing people for the glory of the Christian religion. And then they come to find out that the war is over and she's still killing people. And they're like, stop, you can't do that anymore. And she's like, well, I need, like, this is all I do. What am I supposed to do? So she talks to the new leader and the leader's like, okay, fine. You can go kill this person because this is what we're trying to stop. And she's like, okay, cool. That was the whole point of the game, is like, you are going to go and kill this person. And you're just trying to find your way to that place to get to them. But it was just so, it's such a simple plot, but it was just like getting to there. It was just so ridiculous. What about you, Tom? What was it that you liked about this game?
Okay. So I want to agree that it is funny. The dialogue is dumb, but great. Like, plenty of examples throughout the game of things like that, like being lied to by people, and just very good usage of the ridiculous kind of style of the game. And like you said, the art, you know, kind of plays into that too, because it is very, like, really, they're just paintings that have been reused. These are classical paintings that this game designer has taken and set as the backdrop of this point and click game. And these, you know, characters move through this landscape and then do really ridiculous things in them. So it's like, you know, if you just approach it and just look at it, it's like, oh, that's a Renaissance painting. And then it starts being animated and it's like, oh, okay, like, this is really bizarre.
Yeah.
A painting that's got motion to it.
Absolutely. I thought it was hilarious that the music in each scene was actually being played by people in the scene.
Yes.
So it was, that was hilarious. I think it was at one point in the game where, I don't know how far you got, if you got to the part where the crucifixions were happening.
Yes.
The flute guy just follows you around during that. I was like, yes. What are you doing? What's going on? And he's got like, he's got one foot stuck in a bucket, and it was just so, so stupid, but I loved it. I loved every second of that. Anything else you wanted to point out? Yeah, it was, to your point, it is literally a point and click adventure game. But actually, I don't know if you want to talk about this now or your dislikes, but I was curious how it played on the console, because for me, you know, point and click adventure is very much a mouse and keyboard, really just a mouse game. How did it work for you in terms of that?
You mouse around with the analog stick. And unsurprisingly, that's not a great experience. okay. So, spoilers, it's a dislike. but there are other things that I did like, and I want to briefly touch on them. I like that there is a button to quickly see which things have actions on them. So, especially on an Xbox, right, where if you had to mouse around everything, it'd be a real pain in the butt. But you can press a button, and it'll show you which things you can interact with. And then you can like purposefully direct your mouse to that area. And so that saves you a lot of time and energy, especially on something like the Xbox where you're doing that with thumbsticks. Mm-hmm. You don't really need to pointlessly just kind of scour back and forth, looking for something to click on, which would have been miserable had I had to do that. I liked that the game has... also kind of ways that you can finish it kind of quicker than others. Yeah. It has multiple endings in a way.
Yes.
I like that you have the ability, even though you've been warned to not kill anyone, that you can kill people to move the plot along. So if somebody's in your way and they're being a pain in the butt and you don't want to solve the puzzle, you just draw your sword and just stab that person.
Yeah. That was crazy. That was, I mean, the option to have like that option to just like kill someone to get through the plot was pretty funny.
I didn't expect it to work. I didn't expect it to work. And then it did. And I was like, well, I could have done this the whole time. Like,
yeah. That's cool. Do you want to talk about anything else or shall we go to the
next? No, I think, I'll save everything else for the other side of it.
Okay. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about what we didn't like about this game. Tom, I'll let you start with this one.
So on the Xbox One, there's definitely lag as you transition from scene to scene. And it's like annoying and noticeable. Like it's not like a little bit of lag. It's like it's noticeably loading this other thing. Oh. And it's like, really? Like this game's only 1.5 gigs. Like what are you loading? Like I don't know why there's lag. You know what I mean?
All those beautiful paintings. They're literally painting it behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes it felt like they were taking their time to paint the scene while in between the transitions. Yeah. And I just in general, I guess, that was just like the tip of the iceberg in terms of it being like kind of slow and tedious. Mm-hmm. And just the game in general to me felt kind of slow and tedious. There's not a whole lot of action.
Yeah.
The character walks kind of slow. The transitions are slow, not just in the from scene to scene, but just in general. Mm-hmm. The plot is pretty slow. Anyway, I felt to me like I was wandering a lot and backtracking a lot, and I'm just like, in order to move forward.
Yeah, there definitely was a lot of backtracking. I'll admit to that. Are you saying the character walks slow? Like, when she is running, they're walking slow?
It felt like clunky. I mean, it's a point and click adventure game, so whatever. Yeah. But like, I was like, all right, it just felt like a slog a lot of the time for me.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely see that being annoying, especially the fact that it was like the load times were slower. That could definitely be a bummer. I probably would have changed my mind too. I will say, because I was playing with a mouse, I felt like a lot of times I was missing things I was clicking, like I was supposed to click on and stuff like that. Hmm. Because, you know, there's no, it doesn't highlight anything, right? Like it's like a Where's Waldo puzzle where you have to find what you can click next on the paint or whatever.
Right.
So a lot of times I feel like I was stuck there. going back to what you were talking about, where you can kill pretty much anyone in the game.
Yeah.
Very early on in the game, when you talk to the boatman, the oar,
yes.
boatman,
yeah,
and he's like, "I need my oars back." And you see the guy with the crutches and the and he has the oars. You can kill that guy.
Nice.
And I did, because I was like, I didn't know what to do to get the other people to convince me to
sure, okay,
to give him the oars, which was hilarious. When he when I did it the right way, it was hilarious because he's like, "Here you go," and he just falls over. I was like, "What the hell?" But yeah, if you kill him and take the oars, everyone else finds out that you're a cripple killer. Those are their words. And I couldn't advance the game. Like, I was basically, the game was broken at that point. Because, like, the lady that you mentioned, the cart lady, says, like, "I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're a cripple killer." And then, like, you can't advance the story after that. Because, like, her part, like, the part where she tricks you is... she won't even like let you get that far. Like you can't even feed the donkey. Sorry, spoilers, whatever. But like, you can't feed the donkey. You can't repair her cart. Like, she won't talk to you at all. So like, I had to restart the game completely at that point. And then I think there was one point where like you can walk to a ledge and just jump off and just kill yourself. And then the game ends there too. So, but what else was there? I also felt like the first half of the game was funnier than the second half that I got to play. Like, okay. I think he front loaded a lot of the humor. It was still funny, but it was like, I felt like it was just getting like the laughs were less and less later on in the game. And then some of the puzzles, like most point and click adventure games, like felt kind of obscure. Like, oh, I had to go do this to do that to get to, for me to, you know, get to the next part of this level. And I was like, okay, like getting stuck was also, it was like that kind of point got me frustrated. But you know, overall it was like a typical point and click adventure game for me. But but the characters walking so but it was just so damn funny for me, like at least the parts that I did find funny. Anything else that you want to bring up that you didn't like, or should we talk about notables?
I think it was kind of annoying that you would get warned to save your game, like it would talk to you, the player, and be like, before you do this, you probably want to save. And like, I understand now hearing that you had a problem where you basically bricked yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I understand now why they would do that.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of weird and jarring to be like, "Are you sure you really want to kill somebody? Like, it's not going to go well for you." Like, it seemed a little like they should have just let you do it. Yeah. And then like, there'd be consequences. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they should have let you do it. It should have in the background auto-saved. Yeah. And then if you did brick yourself, it would like kind of let you derp around for a while and then give you a prompt, you know, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes later to be like, "Hey, FYI, you can't advance the plot because you killed that person. Do you want to go back and try that again?"
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a better way to have handled that.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. It's made by one guy and... supposedly.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to front load those warnings instead. It's easier to just be like, "You're about to kill somebody. Please save your game." Like,
yeah,
and kind of go like, kind of, you know, nudge the person in the right direction.
Yeah,
as opposed to like retroactively be like, "You screwed up 10 minutes ago."
Right.
Your punishment has been the last 10 minutes of you wasting your time trying to progress the game and not being able to.
Right.
But now I'm going to let you know that you messed up. So go back and try again. But I don't know.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to talk about in terms of dislikes, but I will say that this game is Xbox cloud save capable and play anywhere.
Mm.
So you can play this on Xbox One, Series X, and S, and PC, and your saves will transfer over to play it. But yeah, let's talk about our final decision, Tom. Are we going to keep playing this game? Or
I need to point out that it's not the game that I was expecting it to be, but yet somehow it's exactly the game I should have expected it to be. Like, I don't know what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more like of an action-ier game, you know, more of a action adventure game. But like in hindsight, that doesn't really make sense. Like, it makes way more sense that it's this style of game.
Right.
But unfortunately, I've got to say, for me, it meant that I was bored most of the time that I was playing it. And I was really kind of just waiting for the game to end most of my hour. It did get, I'm going to admit that it did pick up as I got late into my gameplay, mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, I'm getting somewhere. Oh, I'm getting to Heavenly Peter. Like, I'm getting to the big boss. And then I was like, oh, all right. And then I ended up in a scenario where the game kind of was just like, yeah, but you killed somebody. So you got to go, you know, you messed up. I don't really have a desire. Like, part of me wants to go back and do it right to get the proper ending mm-hmm. of the game. Mm-hmm. But the reality is I probably won't.
So what if I told you, though, that this game is probably beatable in 2 hours?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I really felt like I was at the end of the game.
Yeah, because I will say I did keep playing this game after my hour. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it and found that there are, like you said, multiple ending. And, you know, I was like, again, like this podcast, this process of playing a random game, I was thoroughly surprised and thoroughly enjoyed myself playing this game because it gave me the vibes of the old point and click adventure games that I enjoyed in my past. And the humor was just like chef's kiss in terms of all the things that happened during it. So, like, I mean, even when the first time you met the cart lady, you're just running across and then you run into her donkey and then you just fall and then you just like look at each other for a moment and then you're on the cart with her. It's just like, what the hell has happened? And it's just so stupid. I really enjoy the humor in this game. So spoiler alert, I already played this game. I already beat it and I already got multiple at the end. So that's a sense of accomplishment for me too. So I'm happy about them. Happy I got to play this game. So those are our thoughts. Let us know what you guys think about this game. And, you know, obviously this is going to be on YouTube. So you can comment down below. Let us know, like, subscribe, you know, hit that notification bell, all that fun stuff. And, and of course, you know, we are part of the QTB network and be sure to check out some of our other awesome, great content creators like Kung Fu Penguin. He's serving up Fortnite, Minecraft, and a whole lot more family-friendly content. You know, definitely check him out at quitthebuild.com/KungFuPenguin. So that's another awesome person in our network. But, and of course, you know, you can let us know what you think outside of YouTube on Twitter at TC1H1D. Watch us play our games every once in a while on Twitch, twitch.tv/1h1d, and hit us up on email, tc1h1d@outlook.com. So, yeah.
I think it's a mouthful, Chris. You did it all.
I got all of it. I think I got all of it this time. So
there is something else that you got to get, though.
Right. We got to find out what we're playing next, don't we, Tom?
We do.
It's critical. All right.
We don't have a show without this part.
We don't. But we're going to play next. Here we go. Surprise me button. Tell us.
What is it? I need to know.
Okay. I've heard a lot about this game. And Scarlet Nexus.
Ooh. That is something. It was on my list of things to check out. So yeah, that's cool.
A lot of, like, I don't know if
it's thank you, Xbox surprise me button. Yeah,
there's a lot of talk about this game. I think people were really hyped for this game to show up on Game Pass, and then like was it going back and forth? But no, it's not coming. It is coming, and then now it's here, and we're playing it. So that's what we're gonna be playing next, and you know, we'll be playing that, and you guys can hear us give our thoughts about it. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening or watching, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.